CanOM Update News. I'm Zachariah Hughes, and it's 9:02. It's quiet in the U.S. Capitol these days, but the pressure is on one group of lawmakers, the appropriators. Among them, Alaska's two senators, Lisa Murkowski and Mark Begich. They have until January 15th to complete a dozen spending bills. If they don't, we could see another government shutdown, or less dramatically, a type of budget purgatory Congress has been resorting to called a continuing resolution. A seat on the Senate Appropriations Committee used to be quite a lofty perch. The late Ted Stevens became one of the most powerful Alaskans to ever live by becoming chairman of that panel. It allowed him to send billions home in earmarks. Now both Alaska senators are on the committee, but it hasn't amounted to much. Congress has been too divided in recent years to let the appropriators do their work, and anyway, it banned earmarks due to public outrage, outrage that was partially inspired by Alaska projects. Congressman Don Young says it's been a blow to the state.
But what can they do? They can't really do it. And without earmarks, they don't have the clout that we used to have. This is the reality of life. We are being totally, I think, ignored.
Young says when Congress won't exercise its full power of the purse, it's ceding influence to the executive branch. Earmarking or slipping special home state projects into a spending bill usually late in the process did help lawmakers pass appropriations bills in years past, but critics said it wasn't right that a few powerful lawmakers could direct money so specifically and with so little scrutiny. Senator Lisa Murkowski says the recent stalemate has been frustrating. She's the top-ranking Republican on the subcommittee that writes the spending bills for the Interior Department.
But our bill hasn't made it to the floor for consideration since I've been ranking member, because we're not moving those appropriations bills forward.
She hopes we are now seeing a return to the normal process. Congress this month did recently pass a budget resolution, which is kind of the starting gun for appropriations. In recent years, bitter divisions have derailed the process of spreading money across among different agencies and government functions. Instead of detailed appropriations bills, lawmakers pass resolutions to just keep money flowing, usually at the prior year's level. A Government Accountability Office report says it's a wasteful process. Agencies are paralyzed by uncertainty, then get all their money late in the year and are in a rush to use it. Senator Mark Begich says spending becomes a blunt instrument without appropriations, a process that gives him and Murkowski a chance to shape the bills to meet Alaska's needs.
We were continuing programs through these crazy things called continuing resolutions that did not needed to be funded anymore, but we were funding them because that was the format. Now we can appropriate strategically and surgically, remove programs that are no longer efficient, not necessary anymore, and do the right kind of budget balancing that's critical, and that's where the appropriators come in.
So members and staff of the Appropriations Committee are racing to the block to rather are racing the clock to move things faster. They're likely to roll all the bills into a big package called the omnibus. If it's not signed into law by January 15th, though, they'll have to pass another continuing resolution. Climate change and increased Arctic activity are projected to offset declines in toxic human emissions. A recent study from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology predicts warmer temperatures will cause contaminants stored in the Earth to re-emit back into the atmosphere. In addition, increases in Arctic vessel traffic and oil and gas drilling will multiply pollutant concentrations. These toxins, known as polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, release from burning coal, oil, and wood. They are carcinogenic, take a long time to break down, and they accumulate in the Arctic. Though largely discharged in mid-latitude, they transport across continents and hemispheres through the atmosphere. Carrie Friedman, a postdoctoral researcher at MIT and lead author on the study, says when these contaminants reach the Arctic, the cold temperatures cause the toxins to condense and fall out of the atmosphere, where they then accumulate.
So you get this, what's called a grasshopper phenomenon, where pollutants just keep on making jumps northward into cold regions where they can condense and then accumulate.
The Arctic acts as a repository for these toxins, and small shifts in concentrations make a big impact. So by measuring the changing ratio of these pollutants in the Arctic, Friedman says, scientists can evaluate global emissions. Furthermore, they can determine if the toxins stem from human production or from climate change causing re-emissions.
We've found that the Arctic, because it's so sensitive to these small changes, it can be used as sort of a place to keep an eye on how the world is reacting to changes in emissions and changes in our weather.
Friedman says these pollutants are not yet a health concern for the Arctic, but they could soon become one as accumulation continues. Temperatures increase and shipping and drilling multiply. With pollutant levels predicted to escalate in the Arctic, this study establishes a baseline on current toxin levels. As those numbers shift, scientists can determine how increases in Arctic activity are adding to those ratios.
We expect pH emissions to go up quite a bit in the Arctic because of the projected activities happening there as ice breaks up, like increased shipping, increased looking for oil and gas. So this was a way to sort of get a baseline of how much pH is coming from a long-distance transport versus locally as we move into the future.
The next step, Friedman says, is studying another type of persistent organic pollutant, manufactured POPs, and how they behave under future climate and emission simulations, and how those chemicals transport through ocean currents. And it's nearly the new year, which means Kuskokwim 300 race organizers are gearing up for the premier dog sled race in Bethel. 19 teams have entered the 2014 K300. Jor Olsom's team from Norway and Warren Palfrey's team from British Columbia make the 2014 K300 an international event. And past champions Ron Boozer and Martin Boozer return. Jeff King, known as King of the Cusco, will be racing for his 10th K300 championship, and Western Alaska dog drivers will be racing for their first K300 championship, that of Richie Dale, Pete Kaiser, and Mike Williams Jr. Unalakleet's Donald Tawarik and Nome's Roland Trowbridge are also slated to race. The K300 race organizer Zach Fansler says the field is expected to grow.
We have our local mushers, our in-state guys. They're all going to be competitive. And what I think also is important is now, you know, we don't count somebody officially in until we receive their entry forms, but we know of at least five or six other teams that are out there that have told me verbally they're coming and they're, you know, literally entry forms in the mail. So I would say the field is not capped yet. I would think we'll be in around 25 or even maybe a little over when all is said and done for entries for this year's race.
The K300 purse is at $110,000.
By our reckoning, is the largest purse in the world.
The race champion will take home $22,000. The K300 race committee raised the purse by 10% across the board. Fansler credits the K300 volunteers and the race sponsors with the success of the race and the competition it attracts year after year. Bethel late last week did not have much snow, but Fansler says the amount of snow increases as the trail moves inland towards Aniak. Trail markers for the race reported that this year's is a challenging trail. They bluntly state that racers who expect smooth, fast trails on snow will be unhappy. The trail will be bumpy on the tundra and slick on the ice. The 2014 Cusco 300 is slated to begin at 6:30 p.m., January 17th. And checking in New York, the price of gold is down $8.20 to $1,205.60 an ounce. Silver's down 40 cents to $19.68 an ounce, and zinc is at 95 cents a pound. Alaska Airlines Flight 152 is expected to arrive on time in Nome at 10.05 a.m. Unofficially, it's 20 degrees right now outside the KNOM studios, 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.